Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm George Lizas, spiritual teacher, saga killer, and number one best-selling author. It wasn't long ago that I was stuck in a soul-draining job, held back by fears and limiting beliefs that stopped me from following my purpose and making a positive impact in the world. Fast forward past many hours of inner work and lessons learned, I now write books and teach courses to help you find and follow your purpose too. I created the Lit Up Lightworker podcast to empower you with simple, actionable, step-by-step spiritual tools and practices to overcome what holds you back and light up the world. If you're a spiritual seeker yearning for a more soulful and purposeful life, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Lightworker, welcome to another episode of the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Before we get started with today's episode, let me remind you that my third book, Protect Your Light, a practical guide to energy protection, cleansing, and cutting cords, is now available to order globally on Amazon. In the book, you learn powerful practices to cleanse, shield, and strengthen your energy. Specifically, you'll get to cut cords to toxic relationships, remove psychic daggers of attack and other negative energy attachments, and even learn how to effectively protect your energy online. When you order the book, you also get the Psychic Scanning Online Workshop for free, during which I'll guide you to turn on your psychic vision and scan your body for all types of energy attack so you can clear them. And you can visit protectyourlightbook.com to get all the details. Also, be sure to download one of my free guides in the description of this episode that will help guide your spiritual journey. You'll find guides on finding your purpose, developing your intuition, and protecting your energy. Lastly, if you enjoy the podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review. That's going to be so helpful in letting others discover it too. And in today's episode, we're talking all about navigating your Saturn return. And let me start with a story. At 27 years old, my life took a few unexpected turns. At the time, I worked a full-time job in London while running my spiritual business part-time. That meant that I worked from 9 a.m. to midnight, Monday to Friday, and then spent the weekends working on my business too. I'd already been doing that for 3 years, which had taken a toll on my mental and physical health. I'd become overweight, I developed a serious case of psoriasis, and I was mildly depressed. And it all escalated a Monday morning when my body just refused to function. I had burned myself out so much that I got physically paralyzed. And in that moment, I knew that something had to change. taking a week off from work, I went to Glastonbury in the UK for a spiritual retreat, seeking guidance. And following a particularly meaningful past life regression, I'd heard a voice within me implore, quit your job, move back to Cyprus, and go self-employed. And that's exactly what I did, in that order. And here I am, 5 years later. And although I hadn't realized it then, I was going through my first Saturn return. This is when the planet Saturn returns to the same position it was when you were born, which occurs every 27 to 29 years and lasts for about 3 years. Since Saturn represents discipline and maturity, during our Saturn return, we experience major life transitions, such as career changes, marriage, divorce, retirement, etc. So I want you to think back on your 27th to 29th year while you're listening to this episode. What major life changes did you experience? Although we tend to dread our Saturn return, they can be truly fulfilling periods in our lives because they give us the opportunity to shake things up and experience positive shifts. So in this episode, you'll learn the difference between the three Saturn returns that we experience every 27 to 29 years, practices to navigating this transitioning period. I'm gonna share my own experience and how I made the most of it, and also what sign and house your Saturn return is in. Enjoy this episode with Kagi Dunlop. Kagi Dunlop is a host of the Saturn Return podcast, which explores the challenges and opportunities that come with change and transition. The podcast aims to bring calm and clarity during these times, underpinned by the astrological transit known as your Saturn Return. Kagi's book Saturn Return unpacks this huge astrological phenomenon looming over such a pivotal times in our lives. Part memoir, part Saturn Return roadmap, and including chapters on relationships, self-worth, and embracing change, this is a book about storytelling, truth-seeking, and our individual quest for authenticity. Kagi, welcome to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. What an introduction.
I am so excited to have you here to chat about something that everybody's dealing with. I mean, everybody's talking about, and yet I have been doing this podcast for the past 4 years, but I haven't had a single episode about it. So I'm like, yes, let's talk about Saturn Return. Sadly, I found out what Saturn Return was like 2 years after I had already gone through it. Had I known about it, I would be able to guide myself through it and transition through it way more easily. But before we get into the whole story about what Saturn Return is and how to navigate it, I want to hear a little bit about your own personal story of finding out about it and getting to this point where you have a conversation about it and you teach about it.
That's a great question. Well, the unfortunate thing is, I wish there was a moment where someone actually told me about Saturn Return, and it wasn't so much that. I think it was just when I was living in LA at the time, and I was I moved there when I was 27, and I was going through, or I went through, this very big life shift whilst I was there. And now, you know, retrospectively, I understand that I was also going through my progressed lunar return, which happens before your Saturn return, which is like a whole nother thing. And anyway, it was just during that time that I just felt like something was happening in me, to me, and I didn't really have the words to explain it, but it didn't particularly feel very good at the time. And it was only then. And I've always been a very spiritual person, but I wouldn't say that I necessarily had the friendship groups or was in the right circles that enhanced that aspect of me. In fact, I would say the opposite. I almost like dulled it down. And then it was then that I actually got connected with Nora, who does our astrology for Saturn Returns for the podcast. And she then kind of opened up my world and mind to astrology. And then whenever it was, when it kind of landed for me about Saturn Return, I was like, oh my God, if everyone knew that this is what was happening, they wouldn't have to feel as alone or confused or, you know, isolated as I do. And that was kind of the concept for the show. And originally it actually was a TV show concept that I started writing whilst I was in LA. And then it wasn't actually the strange thing. Actually, I didn't fully go through my Saturn return until I moved back to London. And similar to you, I didn't really know that it was, I kind of did know and didn't know that it was happening. And what's interesting about the show is like, I've created this roadmap and like tool book for people. But sometimes I worry that I've like given people the fear about Saturn return. Because sometimes they come to me at shows and they're like, what's going to happen? Like, it's gonna be fine.
You know what? I think it's good to know about it because you can prepare yourself, and then you know what? Okay, this is happening to everyone. Like, exactly. There are tools out there, you can guide yourself through it, it's all gonna be good. I think it sort of gives you this sense of comradeship with everybody, like, okay, we're all going through this, it's all gonna be fine. So let's talk about it. So what is the Saturn return astrologically, and what does that mean, like, in real life?
So your Saturn return essentially is when Saturn returns to the same place in the sky occupied at the time of your birth. And that takes about 29 years for it to happen, to move back to the same place in the sky. And so Saturn is all about kind of boundaries, discipline, restriction, like friction, those kind of things. So with it, you're supposed to feel this sort of cosmic coming of age as you get pushed into adulthood, really. And so depending on like your particular birth chart and how you've been living your life so far, its effects will be different on each individual, but they are overarching themes that we explore, which I discuss in the podcast and also in the book. And so even though at the time it feels very difficult, it feels like a very intense period, and it is an intense period, it's very much for your own good and to kind of force you to be more authentic, to let go of things that are no longer serving you. And so often people during this time will feel that careers will suddenly dramatically shift, or a relationship will suddenly break down overnight. And so it's got this very fiery, I think, energy about it that just means you have no idea really what's happening, or like something you thought was completely a given and a solid and that was your trajectory for life, just like that goes and the wool's kind of pulled from underneath you. And yeah, that kind of is what it feels like.
Yeah. Pretty much summed up my Saturn return. Like, I remember at the time, didn't know it was happening, but it was happening. I was in London, I was working a full-time job while running my own business part-time, and it had been 3 years of me doing that to the point that I exhausted myself. And I woke up one morning intending to go to work, but my body would just not move because I'd work 9 to 5, then work until midnight on my own thing. Yeah. Then weekends were dedicated to my own thing. Until one day I went to Glastonbury, it's my retreat center. I just went there to communicate with my spirit guides. I'm like, what do I do? How do I move on? And I heard that voice, quit your job, move back to Cyprus, go self-employed. And that's what I did in that order. And that was happening while I was like 28 years old. So years later, I realized, you know what? That was my Saturn return. And it definitely paid off. So for me, it was career mostly. But do you see any different life areas? Like, are there any patterns or life areas that get affected more than others for people? What has it been in your experience?
I think career is a big one that can definitely affect people quite dramatically if they're not in alignment with their authenticity. So that's like an important thing to add for people is, if you're something if you're in a job that feels very aligned and you know you're loving what you do, it might be a promotion or a pay rise, or like just make it a bit more concrete. And the same goes for a relationship. It's often a time when people get married or perhaps think about having children and things like that, so it just gets cemented a little bit more. Sort of like Saturn is very much reap what you sow kind of energy. But for me, because I think I was pursuing things, I'd lost like my why, and I was very much had conditioned myself to be a people pleaser, to crave external validation. And so my driving forces were not in alignment with my like greatest self or my soul's purpose. But I was so consumed by that I couldn't see it. So Saturn very much for me was just like making me hit these dead ends of just things just not connecting. And it felt the harder I tried and the more I pushed, the more resistance I faced. And I think a big component is our resistance to that kind of thing, you know, and when we can get stuck in victimhood mentality of like, why is this happening to me? Why is everything going against me? Whereas I think the most important thing to realize is Saturn is, you know, it's for you. The energy of the universe is always working for you. And to be able to relinquish control a little bit and surrender is when things can flow. And like you said, you know, you went to Glastonbury, you already had that spiritual connection and you were able to listen out and go, okay, this is what I need to do. But I think a lot of people will hear those nudges and just be like, but I'm doing this and this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and not have the courage to listen.
Yes, and listening is the most important. And I want to talk in a little bit about like how ways and practices we can use to listen. But let's talk a little bit about the different Saturn returns we go through, because we have the first one happening 28, 29, and then we have happening one more happening 29 years later. And then I suppose for some people, 29 years after that. Are there any differences in those other instances of Saturn returns?
So I've obviously been focusing on your first Saturn return, because that is kind of the nature of the show. But there is, so my mum went through her second Saturn return, so you have it as you're approaching 60, and then if you're lucky and you get to 90, then you'll have a third. And I think it is just a new initiation, so they will be different, but it's like stepping into that next stage of adulthood. And it's been interesting to kind of see my mum navigating it, and I can see the frustrations around, you know, purpose and meaning, and feeling that loads of people that she knows are kind of going off in a direction and perhaps slowing down and letting their careers kind of not take center stage. Whereas my mum's just like has this fire that she still wants to put out into the world and things that she wants to do. And I can see that that is something that she's struggling with, which I think is very Saturnian. But then also we have Saturn squares and oppositions, which happen from, you know, if you think about when we're 14, what a big transition that is. It's more like the kind of physical puberty, like changing in our adolescence that we're navigating. And then 21, we also get the sort of sense of our own autonomy. We wrestle with authority a little bit, with external figures, and kind of navigating and negotiating those forces. And so they're like, they're those different moments, and sort of Saturn has its 7-year cycles. So yeah, your Saturn return is just like first big one, really.
Yeah, so I love that there is a transition, like it's like helpful steps that prepare you for the big change, rather than okay, here's a one big shock, like shock in your life.
Totally. And then there's also, I mean, Nora, who's the astrologer, is able to kind of go into greater detail, but there's a Saturn maturation that happens at 36, I believe. So that will be like the next thing that I'm going into. And yeah, I'm also going through, I don't know, Saturn squaring my Venus right now, which is, you know, Saturn then kind of how it's impacting love. So it's kind of like boundaries, restriction on that.
Yes.
So it kind of like rears its head many times.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So Saturn is definitely a planet to follow when it comes around like changes and transitions and all of that, right?
Well, it's really funny. I was thinking about this morning and how my sort of fascination and like love for the planet, really, because it is very much like, I love astrology and stuff, but it doesn't like the other things. Perhaps it's because it was so challenging for me. And I guess I view myself as quite unsaturnian by nature. You know, I very much didn't, when people talked about balance or boundaries, I was like, what are they? No, I was just flying all over the place. And so it really helped kind of craft more of a stronger sense of self that I feel I lacked in my 20s. And I guess for that, I'm very grateful for it. And I will always appreciate it a little bit more as a planet for that reason.
It sort of gave you a framework of how to navigate and understand yourself and move forward. Now, how long does it last, the Saturn return, usually?
So you can look it up to see your birth time and where it actually lands, because I actually only recently, because you can feel its effects before, so they say you start feeling it at like 27, and hence why when I was in LA, I was probably going through, you know, my progressed lunar return and feeling Saturn approaching, I guess. But when I looked specifically, it actually occurred in the exact date of this relationship that I had at the time, and like the month that it ended was the end of my Saturn return. And that was like the complete catalyst for, I think I sort of conceptualized things then. I knew I wanted to do the podcast. I'd had all these like thoughts and wanted to kind of shift in career, but that gave me like the rocket fuel I needed to do it. And that was really the beginning of it all.
Yes, makes sense. Now, you previously mentioned the resistance that many people feel around embracing it and doing the inner work and listening. So let's say someone just hears this podcast right now and they experience their Saturn return. They just go through it, even if it's the first one, second one, or even the third one. What is the first step to take to start navigating it? Where would you have people start?
That's a really good question. The first thing that comes to mind is to surrender to it. And I think that when we surrender, we can create space and stillness. And I think that that's a really important one, especially in today's world where we like to fill things up with noise and be busy. And we have such like loud monkey minds that we're like, oh, let's do this, let's do that. And the important thing to remember, if we kind of put this down to intuition, is it's very quiet compared to our minds most of the time. So our minds are very linear, perhaps logical. We want to get to a destination point and we just think if we walk straight, we'll get there. Whereas the universe is going to like throw you off in detours in different directions, which at first, if you are not surrendering, will frustrate you and you'll feel like everything's happening against you. But an important practice that I try and do even today is like when something like that happens, and one of my best friends told me it and it actually really helps, is just to say thank you. So like when something that seemingly goes wrong, to kind of communicate to the universe, thank you, because it's just a recognition and an acknowledgement that actually it's showing you a better way, or it's giving you the tools you need to go where you're supposed to go. So that's one thing. And then also, I think each individual, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this, like has their different way of channeling or communicating, and that they might have different experiences for when they are on the right path. I think human design, if people are interested in exploring that a little bit more, is quite a good way of like knowing your unique makeup in that sense. But for me, I have quite physical responses to things. When something is off, or if it feels in alignment. If it's off, I get like a prickly feeling at the top of my neck in a very kind of primal, like animalistic way. And when something does feel in alignment, it's like everything opens a lot, you know? Like
yes.
My whole kind of body just opens up and I can feel like the energy kind of vibrating in a positive way, and I'm like, okay, this is right, we're on the right track. I might not necessarily know what that means or where it's going to go, but that's enough of an indication that I should follow it. So I would encourage people to kind of try to notice their physicality a little bit more in situations with people, with opportunities, how they feel rather than what they think.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And the way I teach like psychic abilities is identifying your own intuition language, because our bodies communicate to us in different ways. Some people are more visual and they're clairvoyant. Some people are more like they're feeling based like you, so it's like clairsentience, and therefore you get physical sensations. Other people hear things clairaudient, other people know things claircognizant. Some people even smell when something's going wrong or can taste something intuitively. So it's just about finding your own personal way through which the universe communicates to you, with you, and just channeling that while you're going through it. Now, do different signs in your experience such a return in a different way? Or is it not the sun sign that affects that?
That's a really good question. I think it really is made up of your whole chart. So for instance, like I was speaking with someone that came on the podcast recently, and she was the founder of The Pattern. I don't know if you've heard of The Pattern. It's like an astrology app. And she has like this chart reading system on her phone and was looking at mine. And she paid quite a lot of attention. Each astrologer will have their kind of different method of interpretation often, but hers was particularly less focused on the sun sign, a Taurus, and more on the rising and the moon. And so my moon is Pisces and my rising is Libra. And so for me,
we have the same rising and moon.
No way.
I'm rising Libra, moon Pisces, but I'm a Leo, sun in Leo.
Okay. That is so funny.
Yeah, so it makes perfect sense.
Okay,
yes,
so
continue.
This might resonate with you what she said, because obviously Pisces moon can be very, you know, emotional, sensitive. And what she said about Pisces moon is they often come into the world quite unformed. And so we can be very adaptive to situations. We absorb other people's energy and feelings often, so it's hard to be able to differentiate what's yours and what's mine. And that's always been something that it's like a gift as well, but it's something that meant, I think, because I was also a bit of a people pleaser, I would just shapeshift into like any given situation. And then during my Saturn return, a big part of that breakdown was like, I don't know who I am, because I'd kind of come into the world, you know, in that sort of adaptive, watery nature. And so part of my path was to have a stronger sense of self and to form that out.
And create boundaries, yes.
Exactly, exactly. And then the sort of the Libra rising sign is how, you know, crucial relationships are for the evolution of my like identity, of myself, of my personal development, both romantic and platonic, and like how important those things are to me, which completely resonated. And so I think it's like for each individual, they will have different things that will affect them differently. So yes, it will be impacted by your sign, but not just
the sun sign, it's just the whole makeup of our astrological chart.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, for me, then it's to embrace the sort of Taurus aspect of Nora, who's the astrologer, is always like, she always says like Aphrodite energy.
Yes.
Just like enjoying the luxuries, the finer things, you know, and being okay with that side of myself and leaning into it.
You should come to Cyprus. This is where, according to the myth, Aphrodite was born. We have like temples, like ancient temples of Aphrodite. The first perfume ever made was here. You're going to love it.
My boyfriend was there last week and he was like asking me to come, but he was only there for like 24 hours. And so we decided probably wasn't the right
time. The energy is calling you for sure.
Well, I have to come. Embrace the Aphrodite energy.
Yes. And speaking of embracing, my next question is all about how do we embrace this change and transition? Because essentially, the Saturn return is a huge change and transition, but change and transition happens every single day. We don't need to wait like 29 years for it to come. We need to like train ourselves into being okay with it. So what are some like practical tools we can use to start becoming more comfortable with the discomfort and the uncertainty of change and transition?
That's a great question, because you're so right. It's not just this one moment in time. And I definitely used to feel like there was security when things stayed the same. And I think that a lot of people feel that. So we have this fear around change because we don't like it, but it's inevitable. And I sort of say in the book, it's like wrestling with the tide, trying to avoid change. Like it will only drag you under in the end. You have to kind of just flow with it. And so one thing that I try and remind myself of, like, even when things are, you know, to appreciate when things are going really well. And I always just say to myself when they are, I just say this thing. It's not really even to myself. I guess it's to the universe, and it's always show me the truth.
Mm.
And then when I can remind myself of that, it's like, if these things fall apart, I'm being shown the truth. This is guiding me one step closer to, like, my true belonging. And that's really like a road and a journey home. It's inward, ultimately, all of these things are. So I think we need to be reminded constantly by the things that go wrong and by the changes and transitions that actually, like, we can hold space and anchor ourselves and ground ourselves, that these things that sort of we have in place that we think are structures of reality don't mean as much as we think. Does that make sense? And I think that's really reflected in, like, the last couple of years when everyone just freaked out because people didn't have that whole infrastructure that was a bit of an illusion anyway, came crumbling down, and people just freaked because they have never been taught or, you know, given the tools to cultivate that kind of groundedness within. And so that's what I try and say to myself, is they always show me the truth. And, like, that for me is enough to trust in.
Yes, because you're calling upon the truth, which is light, which is source, which is the universe, so which is you. So when you ask this of yourself and the universe, you basically shift your perspective away from the ego. So instead of perceiving life from the perspective of the ego that's scared, I'm like, oh my God, uncertainty, like, things are changing. You're shifting your perspective and you're looking at things from the perspective of your higher self, who knows the truth. So you instantly shift that perspective. That's a beautiful mantra, and I will use it as well. Thank you. And I love that you talked about the impermanence of the illusions of the structures and the safety we have around us, because the status quo is comfortable, and we'd rather, like, live in mediocrity rather than embrace change and transition and what it brings. Something that I found helps me manage that and really keep me on my toes and encourage this change and the embracing it is decluttering. Because we have attachments to stuff, so they make us feel safe. So I keep challenging myself, what if I give this away? What if I don't have this to depend on? And the more I simplify my life, the more I find myself more able to change and to move and to be footloose.
That makes complete sense. I'm definitely someone that can accumulate quite a lot of clutter.
I am, as so, well, until I'm like, you know what? No, enough.
Yeah, because I think also it creates more space for the things that you really need. And just to kind of go back to the truth thing, because I think exactly what you said, and if we are in a relationship or a job or whatever, and the ego is driving the car,
yes,
we miss the red flags, we miss the nudges, we miss the prickly feelings on the back of our, and I know for sure that I did. And so I think it's my reminder to myself to not become illusioned by things.
Yes, to shift, I mean, to understand the need for physicality, but also realize that the ego can be in the car, but not in the driver's seat.
Absolutely.
Essentially.
Yeah. So, which, I'm not going to lie, sometimes it grabs the wheel quite a lot.
Sometimes we want it to, because you're like, you know what? That's a good job in certain things, so why not?
Yeah, but I think
I get it.
To have that awareness when it does grab the wheel.
Yes, yes.
And that often only happens for me afterwards when I'm like, ah. So my ego is just, and that's, you know, the truth is, the more vulnerable we get, the closer we are to love, the ego will come in and intercept often, because it's like, we don't trust this. We don't trust that we're safe here. So we're going to grab the wheel and take over.
Yes.
And that's, you know, when self-sabotage and all these things creep in, and they can be really hard things to handle as individuals, because it's like, we know that it's us, but it's also, it's going against the thing we truly desire. So it doesn't
exactly. It's just realizing it's a tool, And it's a part of us that we have to coexist because we're human, because we live in a physical world. But at the same time, our higher self is coming in to take control of the situation and manage and navigate things the right way. Now, to end on a positive note, what is your hope for people reading your book and listening to your podcast? Like, if you close your eyes and visualize the ideal listener listening to the podcast or reading the book, what do you hope for them?
That's a really good question, because to talk about the ego and the sort of negotiations that I'm having at the moment in my own head with the book is, oh my God, a whole other level. Because the podcast is very, you know, we get to have these conversations, they feel very intimate and personal between us, and then they go out and they belong to other people. A book feels a lot more immortal. In the sense that you're like, I don't know, even though I never take any of my podcasts down, I can't take back a book.
It's evergreen, yes.
It's evergreen. And so, and there's something in like the vulnerability of writing that's,
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's making me feel like I'm going different. Crazy. Because it's a lot. But I guess my hope for the book is, and what I'm trying to do with it is to encourage people to not seek for gurus outside of themselves. Or I think it's important to have spiritual teachers, but not to follow too much, because I believe that we all know our own way. And so it's to just be a lantern for those that are in the darkness, and to be a comfort when people feel alone, and so that they can go on their journey, especially ones that feel like they are in solitude or isolation, because I think that there's a necessary exile in our sort of spiritual awakening. And I think sometimes that can stop people from going there because they don't want to be alone. And so I guess that is my hope, is to kind of just be like a little spirit guide that gently guides people along the way.
Beautiful. Taking our power back, essentially.
Exactly.
Kagi, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I loved our conversation. I could chat for hours and go over and over and on about such a return. Now, please let everybody know where they can get in touch with you and where they can listen to your podcast and get the book.
Yes, so I am on Instagram, Kagi's World, and the podcast is Saturn Returns Co. And the book is going to be out in January 2023, I hope. I fall if I don't get in my own way too much. And the podcast can be found wherever you stream your podcast, at Saturn Returns with Kagi.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and wishing you a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Before you go, make sure to grab your free workbook to find your life purpose at georgelizas.com/life purpose.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.